four L's he got. You got to also understand something about it. If it wasn't for this 16 repeater here, I wouldn't have never found out about amateur radio. But this 16 repeater here looks right down my throat at me. And back then, that's how I found out about amateur radio, from this repeater.
4LZI, KO4JKV. Well, this is a fine repeater indeed. And I just had a flashback about how this repeater was so useful during Hurricane Helene. And I was, ever since then, what I do, if I'm checking in on this net or the net up here by me, West Cars, what I will do as people are checking in, I will hit my reverse button and to see if I can get the input signal and just kind of write down who I can hear without using the repeaters. Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. You check an input, see if you can hear them on simplex. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. Back in Christmas of 1976, I got a receiver that had the medium wave AM band, broadcast band on it, commercial FM band, and back in those days, television was still analog. It had that on it, and it had the VHF AM aircraft band and VHF high band. And right in the middle of that's where this 2 meter band's at. And guess what I found first? This very repeater right here we're on way back then.
Wow, 1976. Maybe I got the year wrong, but that's awesome. They've been doing it that long. And, yeah, it's a great repeater, and we're giving it a workout tonight for sure, which is awesome. But, I forgot what I was getting ready to say. Let's see. Let me gather my thoughts, and I'll turn it back to you.
KI4LZI. Well, that's first how I first found out about amateur radio back at that time through this repeater right here. And as we all know, the rules all back in that time to the way they are now was totally different. Totally different.
Rules, we were talking about, like, people, the way they exchange information, etiquette, things like that.
What I'm really meaning is the rules of getting a license to be on here.
That, I think, I don't know what the cutoff year was, but you had to learn CW, I think, to at least 5 words a minute, and maybe some other things.
Let's start out as a novice at 5 words a minute. Then you had about a year to upgrade the technician class, and if you didn't do that, you lost what you already had. And once you made general, you had to do the written and the 13 words a minute. And when you upgraded to advanced, you was okay, but if you went on up to extra, you had to do 20 words a minute CW and do the written. Plus, back in 76 and 77 in that range, there wasn't none of this VE program in existence in those days. You either took your test at a ham fest or you went to Atlanta, Georgia to a FCC field office to take your test. So in more ways than one, things was a lot different in those days.
Yeah, I bet it was. It sounds like a lot of hurdles to go through to just get on the radio. And it's definitely not easy right now to do it either. Many people will think of studying for a test to get their technician's license is too much. So hats off to all the newly licensed technicians out there, because that's a lot of work, and that's a hard test, and that's a great thing. And then as you go up further, it's still hard, but what it sounds like back then, it was really hard, almost like they didn't want you to operate radio.
Four L's a yacht. Well, you had to do the 5 words a minute first before you could go anywhere. 5 words a minute CW, you had to copy and sing.
And if that was the bar to get my first level, it would have been very hard, and it might have discouraged me. But I love CW now. But when I first got my technician's license, I will never forget that day. I was took it at the Marion, North Carolina ham club there, and once I got that ticket, I was so excited and so I was over the moon. And but I never thought I would be into HF or CW at all. It just didn't cross my mind. I just wanted my technician's ticket. But then once you get that, it just grows and grows and grows. But then also, what I was getting ready to say earlier was that ever since that Hurricane Helene happened, GMRS has been picking up a bunch. And a lot of these dead repeaters for GMRS have been silent, but in the past year, they're actually having GMRS nets up here in my area with check-ins, like in the 30 to 40 check-ins for GMRS, which is really cool. Have you ever messed with that?
For LZI Friday, well, one of my mentors out here, WR4XM, he's encouraging people to get their amateur license and their GMRS license. I just went through a grueling process here over the past 2 or 3 months just to try to renew my amateur license. I told him I'm going to try to get the GMRS license, but after what I went through the past 2 or 3 months over the amateur license, I'm going to wait 2 or 3 months before I do that. But there's plenty of GMRS activity around here where I'm at. There's a 462, 6750 machine up on Caesar's Head and a 462-7 machine on Glass and Mountain outside of Pickens. And from 1 month to the next, they do a GMRS net from 1 month on one of those machines, another month on the other machine. On Monday, if you can hear that repeater and get into it from where you're at. I kind of doubt it, but anything might be, who knows?
LZI, KO4JKV. Yep, it is definitely picking up. And the net that I was listening to, I listened to it one night. I wrote down the day and time, so next week I could try to check in. And I wasn't able to. I think I just don't have much good GMRS gear. So I'm thinking about getting a proper GMRS antenna. And I'd like to get a GMRS mobile unit that has a little bit of power. But that net, I think that the repeater is at the same location as the Bear Wallow Mountain repeater, the SISnet. I think the GMRS repeater's there. And it has a pretty good footprint, and has a lot of check-ins.
The two I'm talking about ain't the only GMRS repeaters around. There's others, too, I'm sure of that. One thing you got to keep in mind with GMRS is UHF, just like 70 centimeters on the ham band's UHF. And UHF has some, let's put it this way, some quirks about it that doesn't show up as much on VHF. You got to keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind for sure. But that is like the latest thing, the next thing I'm going to go, instead of buying anything new in ham radio, I might buy a new key for CW. But I'd like to get a strong GMRS radio. That'd be good because I tell you what, in the time of emergencies, everything's important, and just keep your batteries charged and your radios dry.
For LZI Friday. One thing you got to remember about, and I've learned it from 70 centimeters here on the ham band around here on UHF. When it comes to such anything on UHF, you've got to keep your loss as low as possible. If there's any way you can use LMR 400, real low-loss cable, you need to with UHF. I've learned that with my experience over the years here with 70 centimeters, which is ham band UHF. It's critical that you keep your loss on UHF just as low as you possibly can.
LZI, KO4JKV. Yep, that makes sense. Keep that loss, the loss as low as possible. And I try to keep that in mind with any station setup that I'm doing. I don't have much very expensive cable. I use the basic stuff. But I do know as you go higher up in frequencies, and then when you get to UHF, you're getting into that GMRS in the 70 centimeter area, that LMR 400 would come into come in handy. Recently, I've got into Meshtastic and Meshcore, which is very high up in the frequencies, and I have a device where I can text over Meshtastic, and I think that is like 920 or 918, something like that. Are you familiar with that?
LZI 4LZI right there. I've heard Mandel WR4M talking about Mandel here talking about that, and he kind of showed me some things about it. It's UHF as well, up as you say, up in the 900 megahertz range. But like I said, with about all this on UHF, you can't go haphazardly doing this and expect it to work good. There's the 442-400 up on Caesar's Head. Well, this one here's up on Caesar's Head, but it's up about the 450-foot level on the big WYFF tire with the 442-400. Is up on a 100-foot tire and maybe 60 or 70-foot up on that. Well, I tell you, from right here where I'm at, especially in the summer months, when there's rain and there's storms and there's fog, there's a big difference in the signals from this one to that UHF 440 repeater up there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you get up higher in the frequencies, you want to keep those losses low. When I was talking about that Meshtastic radio up in the 918 megahertz range, you can't really run a 10-foot, 20-foot jumper. Your jumpers are like a couple inches. Otherwise, you're going to have so much loss unless you have some very expensive cable to make that happen. But yeah, that makes sense. And as you go lower down in the HF frequencies, it's a lot more forgiving. And I've had the same RG8X outside just laying there for 5 years, and it's still good. But I probably should change it soon. But anyway, yep, sounds good. Good info.
4LZI Friday. Well, I've kind of learned also some of it from experience, too. What I'm using on this transceiver here is the same cable I've used for 70 centimeters, 2 meters, and 6 meters. Back at the time, I didn't know about LMR 400 or any of the LMR coaxes back at that time. All I was aware of at then was, you know, the RG58X or just plain RG58 and RG8U. And I used RG8U here. But I can tell you, it's fairly real. policeman with VHF, but on UHF, I should have went to those that I was telling you about. And I would recommend to anybody that's going to do UHF, they better go to the cable that's got a lot lower loss.
And, yeah, I don't do too much conversations on 70 centimeters, and so I've never done much UHF, but I think at least the last 2 years I checked, I think there is a repeater that is 440, but I'm not sure, but I never did it. And when I bought the radio, I got a Yaesu FT2980, and that's the one I run the nets on Mondays. And it's just 2 meters only. There's no UHF at all. But I haven't done much UHF, over.
Poor LZI by day. Well, a good three-fourths of what we do over here is 70 centimeters, other than some of the ones, and that's also GMRS, and we do quite a bit of UHF over here, and I've learned a lot about that since I got my tech license years ago, about, like I was saying, about this setup here. It's fairly reasonable with VHF, but it could have been a lot better had I put better cable here with UHF, a lot better. I've learned it since then, but as we all know, it takes money to do things with, and I've just never done it, but I can give you knowledge about that. When it comes to UHF, you got to think more and less loss. It might be more expensive cable like the LMR kind is, but there's a whole lot less loss with
it. Sounds good. And you said you do it. There's a lot of UHF activity down there. Are you talking local people you talk to, Simplex, or are you on repeaters? How are you working that?
Poor LZI5D, well, 3 or 4 centimeters over here in Pickens County.
There's a lot of people down there on 70 centimeters. That's good. And, yeah, I guess I should check that out. So, do you do any GMRS?
For LZI5D, well, I was telling my mentor over here, man, I'm going to get a GMRS license, but as of right now, I just hear what I hear on the scanner, and I'm aware of it, but I've never actually got the GMRS license, and I just went through a grueling renewal process since September to about a month ago now, trying to renew my amateur license, where I've had a devil of time because of the government shutdown and all this garbage. I'm going to get one, but I don't have a license for it right now.
Roger that. And, yeah, well, the thing is, there's no rush. As long as you have a radio, they can get onto GMRS in case you're in an emergency. That's half the battle. But getting a license, there's no test. You go on the website and give them your money, and you're good to go. And one call sign covers your whole family within your household, which is another plus. But it's always good to have, and good to just have lots of different avenues of communications in case of emergency. I'm just curious, another question, Andy. When that storm, Hurricane Helene went, I listened to a lot on this repeater, and let me let this drop for a second. Listened to a lot on this repeater, and also the repeater close to me in Asheville, the West Cars repeater, and a lot of helpful hams doing everything. I think maybe our repeater went down for a few hours, but everything got back up. But do you remember anything about that during that time?
For LZI Friday, well, at the time, I was limited on what I could do a whole lot with. I had a deep cycle battery. I had it on my scanner. I did, and I had a few HTs, and well, another thing you got to learn about these repeaters, whether it's GMRS or amateur repeaters. Like this repeater we're on here, they got backup power. A big old monster diesel generator up there on Caesar's Head that this repeater is hooked to. There is. And there's some repeaters that has battery backup on them that might go for a day and a half, 2 days, then they're dead. When it comes to such stuff as this here, you got to take that into account as to what repeater has for backup power or doesn't have for backup power.
LZI, KO4JKV. Yep, you're definitely right. And I've never visited this repeater site. I try to look for pictures, but whatever they're doing good. The West Cars repeater up here on Spivey Mountain in Asheville, a few years ago I went up there with them to help weed whack and kind of clear the grounds of that repeater. And that's an interesting place. When you go up there, there's not just our repeater station, but there's television, other radio stations, repeaters. It's a lot of antennas up there. But, yeah, having good backup and foresight on real emergencies, and also not just that, but having a backup plan to get up there. Let's say you got 2 feet of snow. Is anybody willing to go up there and fix what's wrong? And so it's not just the equipment, it's the team. So, when I reflect on all that stuff, it was a really, really good to hear that the radio is alive and well.
For LZI Friday, well, I've been up there where this repeater is. We're on here many times. Like I was telling you earlier, our group's got a 442-400 up there on a 100-foot tire up there as well that I was telling you about a while ago. That's kind of how I know about certain things, because up here on Caesar's Head, there's multiple things at that site as well.
Yeah, that's good. And also, I was interested to go to the Bear Walla Mountain repeater in Hendersonville. I think there's a trail all the way up to the top of that. But yeah, I think repeater sites are interesting. And when I got to go in, the president of the club, Chris, he let us go in and see, you know, the actual repeater and all the stuff. It's really interesting how it works and all that stuff. A lot of people take it for granted that you can just pick up your radio and talk, but there's actually a system in place that someone has spent money on, and they think about it every day and make sure it's working.
KI4LZI, right? Like, I don't know from where you are at. You obviously can get 16. Can you get to 79 on Sassafras Mountain?
I checked into Sassafras Mountain many times, and yep, I get a good signal. For some reason, where I'm at in Asheville, I'm just high enough where I point. Right now I'm using a roll-up J-pole antenna on an HT. But when I run the net, I have my mobile radio on a beam antenna. I use a log periodic, and I point it right down towards Caesar's Head Mountain. And from my vantage point, Caesar's Head and Sassafras Mountain are just like a degree away from each other. So I can get into Sassafras Mountain repeater, no problem.
4LZI, something I was going to tell you about the differences in repeaters. Now, 79 up there, they got a battery system up there, but when that up there on Sassafras loses power, after about a day and a half to 2 days, if the power don't come back up on that repeater up there, it's down.
Could be a problem. I would think that, I don't know how it is up here or how it is on this repeater, but I know it's expensive and a lot of maintenance, but some sort of, I was thinking that just have some a solar panel to charge a battery for backup power, And for emergencies, like a real emergency, that it would not just stay on all the time, it would be like an emergency time, so all the people in the club or the hands would know that we're on limited power, so we can only charge our battery so much, so our repeater will only be open from, say, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and that way you can keep the batteries charging and then open it up for traffic for 2 hours twice a day.
4LZI5D. Well, I'll take this, and I know you ain't likely to hit it, but Glassy Mountain outside of Pickens here, where we've got, as it stands now, our group down here, we got 1 2-meter machine that's on the air. Most everything we got, like I said, 70 centimeter. Well, here, where the 147.195 is at, we also got the county communications there as well, and they got a big monsters. I don't remember if it was diesel or if it was propane. Seems like I saw a propane tank there in the lot. Big propane generator there. And when the power there goes out after so much time, that propane tank kicks in, provides power for the county stuff as well as our amateur machines up there. The thing is, some sites have backup power, some has limited backup power, like the Sassafras site, where that battery lasts for maybe a day and a half to 2 days max, and that's it, you know. As to how good a backup they got, or for how long a backup they got.
LZI, KO4JKV. Yep, I know that running these repeaters takes a lot of electricity, and then once power goes out, you need backup. But also, I want to go back to that when I was talking about Mesh-tastic up in that 918 megahertz thing. You can have a repeater that fits in your shirt pocket that has. And then you can have a solar panel on it that's waterproof. I was wanting to, I'm a horrible club member. I haven't gone to a meeting in years, but I would hope that someone's thinking about putting a Mesh-tastic repeater. It's really the size of a coffee cup, and you just stick it on the side of the tower, and then at least everyone could text each other if the big if radio goes down, you could still have texting. I don't know. I'm kind of new at Mesh-tastic. I'm sure there's some people probably listening, just screaming at their radios right now. But I think that this should be a Mesh-tastic repeater on this repeater and all repeaters.
4LZI5D. Well, WR4XM's talking about putting one up on Glassy Mountain outside of Pickens here. Now, I don't know when, where, or how, but I heard him talk about he wants to put one up there on Glassy Mountain outside of Pickens, but I don't know when that'll be, and from where you are, I kind of doubt you'd get into it anyway if he did.
Maybe not, but if they did, I would buy a Yagi for Mesh-tastic, and I'll get in there.
Keep in mind, like I said, what I was saying about UHF and that in the 900 range, there's no question it's, because there's a, let's see, there's a 927-5125 on Glassy now, up on Glassy Mountain, and a 927-7125 up on top of that 100-foot tire is telling you about it's up on Caesar's Head right now. Can you hear them even from your location?
Tried on that frequency. I really haven't. What I have is just kind of pre-programmed. It's just on one frequency. But I don't have the radio that I can actually scan the frequencies or anything like that.
You got to have a one Motorola especially kind of fixed to do the 900. I don't have it either, but I know others that does, and I've got them programmed here into the scan. Reason, I hear what I hear, but even from where I'm at here, at that frequency range, and even the one on Caesar's head, sometimes I hear it, sometimes I don't hear it.
Makes sense. And also, I was adding one more question about Mount Pisgah. Are you able to get into the Mount Pisgah repeater?
For LZIVD, I hear it, but I can't get into it.
I always wonder about that. I'm sure there's some hams out there that have some information. I have it in my HT and all my radios. And it's there, and I can look out the window and see the mountain, and it'll kerchunk and all that stuff. And they used to have a net there, a morning net, and then for some reason it moved over to Spivey Mountain, West Tars. And I made one contact about 4 years ago on Pisgah Mountain, but I hear no traffic. And sometimes when I go to that frequency, I hear a horrible, just a big noise. But I'm just wondering what the status of that repeater is, and is it okay to use, or what's going on?
For LZIVD, I'm aware of the net that used to be there. It was on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m., I think. But it's on here, but there is issues with it. I know about that noise you're talking about. It sounds like a blow dryer blowing. I've heard that on other link systems, too, where repeaters are linked and something goes awry. I know what you're talking about. I've heard it, too. Like I said, I can hear it, but I can't get into it.
Wonder, because the position of that repeater, it is like only second to maybe Mount Mitchell as far as location. Such a high mountain, such a big footprint, and I hear no traffic on it. But, yeah, I was just wondering. And do you listen to the Mount Mitchell guys?
I can hear it, but like I said, I've got Caesar's head blocking a lot of that out, too. And sometimes I can hear it, sometimes I can't. And as far as getting into it reliably, even with 50 watts, it's a hit and miss proposition.
That's how it goes. But whatever you're doing good. Just curious, what's your antenna right now?
Well, it's just like I was telling you. This antenna I'm using, there's a lot I didn't know when I put it up years ago. Like I was telling you about that LMR-400. This antenna I'm currently using has been up about 19 years, somewhere thereabouts. I put it up, me and WR4XM put it up, let's see, in the spring of 06. And I hadn't done a whole lot to it in recent years. Actually, I probably need to. And I use that RG8U cable on it. And I've learned, like I'm telling you, a lot of things I wished I'd known back then about the LMR-400 on the UHF side. So that's what I'm using. It's a diamond tri-bander, 6 meter, 2 meter, 70 centimeter here. About 30 foot up, but if you saw this hole I'm in, you'd know a lot of the problems.
Well, I tell you, every time you key up, your signal is excellent. You have great audio, great signal, and that antenna's been there for so long. Is that the same coax? Is it buried, or is it on top of the ground? And if you ever changed it, when did you change it?
For LZIVD, it's probably in need of being changed, to be honest.
It's because you sound too good.
To hear me on 442-400, you'd probably think different.
Good there.
But this is all also the same setup I use for that I was telling you about on that 442-400. It may sound good here, but you go to that frequency, and we get in the rain around here, and any fog or any wind blowing go with it, you would probably think differently. That's what I was saying about not thinking ahead about the LMR, but I didn't know it back then.
Yeah, that sounds good. I wasn't there with the 440, but, and you're always sounding good. You got a great, great strong sound for most everybody that's talking on this repeater, so you got a good setup there. And, yeah, if you never change your cable in 15, 16 years, I wouldn't change a thing, but I'd go inspect it. I think I should replace mine for HF, because I think I'm getting much higher noise levels than I need to, but I'm still making contact, so I'm a big cheapskate. I'll wear a t-shirt for 20 years, so that's how I am.
Been changed since all of those new cable I put in then, but like I said, I've learned a lot since then, and there's no question that probably needs to be changed. It's just that I'm going through some other issues here at home too right now that makes it where I don't know if a year from now I'll still be even living here. So I've just held off on doing anything like that right now.
Good. And, yeah, let's make sure that your cable's holding on. But as far as I'm concerned, your signal is great. So, but also, and you've been a real help to me over the years. Yeah, for many years. And if you ever need anything, you can always let me know. If you did ever need to change that coax, you just send me a message or catch me after a net, and I'll help you out.
But no doubt it's probably needing it. It's been up there all this time, and here it don't show that much on 610, because I can get into this repeater with a half a watt with a HTM rubber duck if I stand in the right place, but I've got some other issues going on too now, and I'm hesitant on doing too much right now, but it's been up here all these years, it has, and like I say, with this 610, it's never been an issue for me to do anything with here. Never has been, but as far as that other you're talking about, yeah, WR4XM, he's told me he's thinking about such as that, but it'll probably be on Glassy Mountain outside of Pickens. And when it will be in place, I can't advise you on that. I don't know.
That sounds good. But yeah, on your QRZ, do you have an email? Do you communicate email, or are you mostly a phone guy?
A phone guy, because my computer skills are just barely existent. If it wasn't for WR4XM, I would have never been online at all.
Well, if you got a pen and paper, I'll give you my phone number in case you ever need anything in the future.
Jade, I really do, but that's a long drive for you. And like I say, with this other issue I'm dealing with now here about the property, I'm hesitant on doing too overly much right now. If I can't even be sure I'll still be here at this time at the end of the year, but a lot of my station here is, like I was saying about the cable, it is aged and probably does need to be redone. But for this particular repeater here, it next to nothing I can get in there with almost anything.
See that? Well, that sounds good. Well, let's see. I know that when I run the net on Monday at 9, that's prime time for your shortwave. So, but if you want to get a hold of me over radio, you just chime in at the very tail end of the net or something, or just give my call sign during those times, and I'll get with you. I don't monitor this station during the week much because I'm usually mobile, and my mobile radio is not going to get this repeater. I have to be at my home. But I'm here Mondays, and hit me up.
Just like I picked you up here when you checked in tonight and wondering how things went, you know. I'm usually here on the weekend, usually. Like when I heard you check in here tonight, that's usually when I will be listening the most. As you seen before, I usually do the pre-nat other time.
And also, yeah, if it's not on a Monday or any other day that the net is going on and you hear me check in, just do what you did today. Just kind of break in and say, hey, stick around, and I'll stick around.
We can help anybody out, and as long as that WWV has been there, I mean, everybody should know about it, but of course everybody that's new, how are they going to know it if they don't tune it in? You know, it's not something that's advertised a lot this day and time because it's antiquated and they plan on eventually taking it off the air when things wear out.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen, and at least for the next 20 to 30 years. So hopefully it stays up there because it is useful. It helps for amateurs to a place to go to see how propagation is jiving, considering the location of the transmission and things like that. But yep, thanks for that info on the WWV and the 18 minutes past the hour. And we talked way past that. I was going to check in at 10:18, and we're talking all the way to 10:48. But it's good talk. Andy, I gotta see a man about a horse. But great info, and I'd love to reg two with you again very soon. KI4LZI KO4JKV.
Then on one of those frequencies, whichever works best at the time you tune it in, at 18 minutes past the hour, and you'll hear KI4LZI. Clear now. Go ahead and get the rest you need.
Good to talk to you. And I love talking to you. That's awesome. Good, great info. And we'll see you again soon. And, let's see. I wrote down a couple things. But anyway, KI4LZI, this is KO4JKB. 73 Andy, we'll see you down on the log.